Will the real walk-on army please stand up? It's episode 313 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Thank you guys for joining us. The NFL draft happened this past weekend. A weekend that did not go well for the walk-ons on this show, but did go well for some Hawks of recent memory, including Tyler Linderbaum, Dane Belton, and a host of others. Let's talk about it. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, to the 313th rendition of this podcast.
Now everybody from the 313, put your motherfucking hands up and follow me. Everybody from the 313, put your motherfucking hands up. Look.
Let me be the first one to say that I'm very thankful I'm not from Detroit, but it's a great song. Eminem, one of the greatest of all times, and we had to pay our respects. Now that that's over, this is the 313th episode of the podcast, and it is episode one of the make fun of the guy who sent us to the marketing team and then got drafted the same spot we did podcast. So, Kluver, take this one over, bud.
That is not where we're going with this to start, though. We're going to save for everyone who gets the reference there, which is probably only going to be DHT members, Patreon Walk-On Army members. You guys will understand that. You will get to hear more about that on Tuesday when we get dirty with it. Okay. Cause that's what we do on dirty on DHT. It's really dirty.
Dirty Harry Tuesday.
Yeah. I was going to say something else that involved me and you. Anyway, just a Sunday afternoon. I'm here with my boys. We get to talk a little bit of football, you know, which is what brought us together. And we get to talk about guys who are better than us.
You're going to stop being boring?
Dude, I'll be boring.
I started this thing off hot and then you just took it to fucking snoozeville.
I'm the one who clicked the 313 clip. Let's just chill out there for a second. I want to quickly welcome in. We've had an influx on the Patreon. Sometimes we get a little, so more of you are going to hear the conversation on Tuesday. Luke, Jeffrey, Adam, Rich. Yeah, we're getting closer to that 500 number again. So it's not as private as we think. More people joining the Discord every day too. So we enjoy that. Nick, Justin, Blake, Bradley, Austin, and some guy that just has his name is Goose. Shout out Goose. Those are the new Patreon members. Shout out to TJ Hawk too. You know, Detroit, not a great city.
Big shout out to TJ Hawk. Been hanging out with TJ Hawk a decent amount here in Nashville.
Got that fifth. I saw they got that fifth year option picked up or something like that on Twitter.
They got to pay him like a 10 and a half, 11 milli.
It's decent.
And
you know, that's more money than we make. Okay. All right. You combine all of our money, all the money we have. And our assets. And that's more. All right.
And that's more than double or triple.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless Kevin's got like an undisclosed amount of square footage in the basement of his house.
No, it's all right, guys. I got the future Mega Millions ticket. So we'll have them here soon.
Well, that'd be great. You know what we could do for the podcast with that? That'd be wait, is the Mega Millions built up pretty high?
If one of us dirtbags ever hit it, God, watch out.
Watch out, dude. Talk about a production.
The Mega Millions is about 60 mil right now.
If the walk-ons...
Which is crazy. We could win the lottery, and there's a couple of our friends out there who would still have more money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think George has it all yet, but he will.
But can you imagine what I would do with $50 million? Like, I don't have $50 million, and I already talk a lot of shit.
Oh, you don't?
Imagine the shit I would talk with 50 M's.
The amount of shit you talk is directly correlated to how much money is in your bank
How
account?
Much money he can back it up.
No.
But like, you know, there becomes, I'm pretty unfiltered, right? But there comes a point in life where it's like, you know, I could still end up broke someday and then everybody can laugh at me, right? If I had 50 million, I'm not ending up broke. So I'm talking all this shit because I know it's never coming back.
All right. Interesting. If we won 50 million, well, realistically, if we had 50 million, we'd probably get like 25 of it. And then, you know, I would drop a cool 100 G's on the podcast. I don't know how.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Well,
he's buying a studio and pimping it. And by pimping it, it's not going to be like all black and gold washed and walk-ons. It's going to be – it can be some black and gold. Yeah, but yeah. It's just going to have pimped shit. Like dudes' jerseys and, you know, baseball bats signed by Mark McGwire and Pete Rose's fucking bet slip. And we're just getting all the cool shit if one of us gets 50 million.
The ear that Mike
is going to be the coolest sports studio of all time.
The ear that Mike Tyson bit off. All of it, man. I'm buying it all.
Yeah, dude, we're going to get Evander Holyfield's earpiece.
Realistically, if we had that kind of money, I would no longer have to rely on personal training and fitness. Right. Or any income source.
No shit, dude. That's retirement money. So, no shit.
So just let me Drake ruins everything, dude. He ruins everything. Mute your mullet ass and whatever squeaky toy that Bane's playing with. And let me tell a fucking story, you fucking rat. I would no longer have to rely on doing actual work. Right. So I am now going to probably build a studio in Coralville/Iowa City as a home base. Yeah. As a home base, because that's where Kevin is. Yeah. And so then on a weekly basis, I would drive every time we podcasted to Iowa City where Kevin and I could then pod from the studio. And then you would.
And then we would also, you would fly me on a PJ to come in.
At a certain money amount. Yeah. I'd fly you in. Probably we'd probably record two at a time so that we didn't have to do that twice a week, maybe three at a time. And that would significantly upgrade the content. We'd be in person. We'd have all the best equipment, which wouldn't even cost more than a couple grand.
And it would be terrible for you because the times when I had the urge to punch you in the face, I could actually do it.
I think of it as a, when,
yeah, okay. Here's the question though. Do you think the amount that you would put in, like that 100 grand, do you think flying Drake on a PJ?
No, it's not.
The investment ROI would be returned even remotely.
No,
close.
No,
to what you put into it.
No, it wouldn't.
That is a negative cash flow operation right there.
No, Kevin. You're underestimating the value of my content. See?
You're not.
If
you're
we
not.
Hit the lottery.
Bro, we've been doing content for 4 years now, and
But we haven't been doing content as lottery winners.
he really plays up this lottery thing.
Okay, so did we win the lottery,
dude? If I'm living like Dan Bilzerian, then our listenership's gonna go up.
I will say, the more money and resources you have, the better your content. The higher your content ceiling is, because you definitely have the ability to go places, meet people. The accessibility factor becomes, oh, dude, Drake, that half gallon of Fairlife milk you got there, I got two of them down in the fridge. It's icy, bro. I decided I'm a Fairlife guy now because it's about the same fucking price as normal milk.
I'm a permanent Fairlife guy.
Yeah.
Fairlife's good stuff. You're a bitch for not drinking whole milk, though.
It's just too many calories. It's just, you know. Real quick, DRF Sportsbook is sending all parlays to the moon like Elon Musk in this B. Start cashing in with DRF Sportsbook. 22% profit boost for all MLB, NBA, and NHL parlays. The MLB season is here along with the NBA playoffs and the start of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. So to celebrate, DRF Sportsbook wants to boost your profits. Head on over to DRF Sportsbook now to start betting. Before we get into guys who are making a whole lot more money than us, who actually have maybe opportunities to do stuff like we were just fantasizing about, I was at Drake Relays on Friday. Drake gave me shit about it. Also was absolutely slandering me in the Discord.
How about that Discord, though?
Complete and absolute fraudulent claims being made in the Discord. This guy put in our, I don't know if you checked, Kevin, but he put in our Discord
right now.
He put in our Discord that I texted him saying, you know, Drake wanted to do an extra DHT podcast on Friday and I had some stuff in the morning and then I was going to go and watch the races. He put in the Discord that what my response was to him, the reason I couldn't record was because I love the Drake relays. Well, I don't even know the quote. The girls stay young and we
unbelievable. You just botched this entire ordeal.
I did.
Way to take a shit on something funny.
Yeah. They stay the same age. We keep getting older. They stay the same age or something. He said that I texted him that. I did not text him that. There's zero proof. I would never say that. And it's not even I don't even go there for, that's just absurd. Anyway, that is where I went. And it brought up the question. If you had to run a 400 right now, I was thinking about this. If you got put on the track right now.
This is pretty bizarre because I was just thinking about this 20 minutes ago.
Why?
How fast I could run a 400 right now. I have no idea.
I have
no idea, dude, but I was thinking about it.
I don't either. So, you know, I watched the college races too. For those that were there, there wasn't a ton of people there. The girl winner came across in, oh God, what was it? 53. The guy winner came across in 48 flat or so, around there, 48.
You're talking about the high school kids?
Yeah, the high school kids.
Kevin, told you were watching high school girls.
Kevin, you ran it in what?
You said you saw a high school person run it 443 seconds?
No, 53 for the girls.
Oh.
48 for the guys or something like that.
Yeah, that's good. My PR was a 49.3.
Okay, 49.3. The winner of the guys set like the Iowa Drake Relays record with like a low 48.
Which is really good for this time of year too.
Yeah, and it wasn't good weather. It was rainy. And so, you know, I was there with Lauren and the in-laws and we kind of got on the topic of like, I think Lauren started it with, what do you think I could run a mile in? And Lauren doesn't run. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, if you could break 9 minutes, I might be impressed. I don't know.
That's not fast, man.
Well, her athletic career ended a long, long time ago. And I was like, so then we started kind of just chopping it up. And, you know, three athletic dudes on this podcast still train, still stay in shape. We're conditioned in a sense, not necessarily peak 400 shape, but right now, Kev, what do you think you get spikes on a track. What do you think you're pulling in at?
For 400?
Open four.
Ooh, man, I haven't run in a while. I think I could flirt around with a 55.
Okay. That gives me a little bit more, because like Drake said, I don't know where I'm gauging myself off of this. I never even ran a 400 timed probably in my life. I told myself that I would love to be around a minute, but I don't think I would be around a minute. I think realistically, if you put me out there, I'm flirting more with like 63, maybe 65.
You know, I'm kind of curious. I might just go to the track this afternoon, do one and head home.
Drake, what do you
think? Here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say. Right now, in the exact shape that my body's in as I sit, not very fast. I need a couple days off, dude. Haven't taken one in God knows how long.
Yeah, we know that.
But if you give me a couple days to rest, knowing how I feel running in the backyard with the dogs, I would be very confident in saying I would beat the girls' champ.
You think you're going to run?
Just put us heads up, knowing the competitive nature in me and how much I float now being 195 pounds, I'm very confident I'd beat the girls' champ.
I mean, have you been running?
More than usual,
tells me no.
Dude, I'm telling you, running wind sprints in the backyard with these dogs all day and then hitting the bike after jujitsu, my cardio is not, it's probably the best it's ever been.
Yeah, but 400 is not a super cardio event, man. It's all out for as long as you can go.
Okay, I was wrong.
It's not about your endurance.
I'm pretty confident.
I was wrong. It wasn't 53. It was 56.
I'm confident I'd beat Girls Champ.
56.
Yeah, I don't think you're running. You're not running a 53 this week, Drake. I don't think.
Do you think he runs
in a month? I'm sure. Yeah. Not in the by the end of this week.
You think he runs 55? I don't think Drake runs 55.
Dude, I will go run 55 in 2 days.
Oh man, I wish we lived together still.
Right. In tennis shoes.
Are y'all on the track?
I'm an 800 meter away from the track.
All right, let's all run a 400 tomorrow.
I can do that.
Dude, I told you I needed a couple days.
You get 24 hours.
That's
talk about content machine. We're going to start doing some content that
we're going to start doing challenges.
Shit about
challenges.
Does this have to be videoed?
I'm going to video it.
I don't have anyone to video it.
I don't even know how I would get the whole video on, but like, I mean,
I got to check what the wind's like in Iowa.
I don't even know where I'm supposed to go to get, can I just run 400 in a straight line? Can I mark it off on the road? Like
find the local,
I don't know.
Find a high school track.
Dude, I swear to God, I don't think I've driven past a high school since I lived here.
If you searched nearest high school or one of your town's names with high school behind it, I'm sure you could find a track.
It's fair.
Now, yeah, because I that's where I train. I mean, I'm blessed with the track right next to me, Old Waukee. Man, I don't know. I don't want my feelings hurt, you know, like I don't want, and you know, like the three of us are going to go out and regardless of what we run, it's going to be way more respectable than like I run in my own CrossFit stuff, maybe once or twice a week, a total of 800 meters to a mile, but it's all in shorter interval increments with a bunch of other stuff. I really, I don't know.
And see, I think you do okay, Clue, because I feel like CrossFit, you have like a lot of that stuff that's like all out for like 30 seconds to a minute and a half type stuff. And that's the energy system that you're using for a 400 meter dash. So you'd be good there. I think your limitation is just going to be how fast your legs can move.
Yeah. No doubt. It's my sprinting ability. It's not going to be my cardio that fucks me. It's my I'm just slow. Relative to other competitive fast twitch athletes in a straight line, I mean, you guys have seen me run in a straight line plenty. It ain't quick. It's not going, the knees aren't chopping too fast. But like relative to most people, you throw like your average person out there, they take off on a 400 and they get about 150 into that sumbitch and they're like, oh no, I'm gonna die. I would not have that feeling. I'm my athlete IQ is much higher than that. I'm going to do it.
I'm just confident because my hip mobility has gotten so much better. My stride length's gotten better. The efficiency has gotten much easier just because of dropping 50 pounds at least.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, dude, I feel like I can fly. We're going to find out.
No doubt. No doubt.
I don't have spikes, so I'm doing it in tennis shoes. But
now here's what I'd really be curious at. We all go get a baseline time, right? Who knows if it's like we reach our potential, if it's windy, rainy, whatever. We warm up enough. Please warm up because we're going to have hamstrings that are just gone.
Oh, I promise I'll warm up.
Now, then we all go on like the same 400 meter training plan for the next like 6 weeks and we see what we can get the bitch down to.
No, I don't even agree to this at all because I'll be training jujitsu. This is a one-time put your money where your mouth is deal. And I think I'll go under 56. That's all I'm saying. I said I'd beat the girls champ. Now I don't have to go under 53 because you said it was 56. So I just try and go beat that.
Because no doubt at top end, like Kevin's probably got the, you know, he literally ran the race and was good at it. And then
been a long time, man. I have not run like significant amount since fall.
Oh God. And this just reminded me, and Lauren didn't want me to say this because she's not mean, but Lauren, we were talking about this and I brought you up, Kev, because I know you're a 400 meter in high school. And she goes, Kevin was good. And I was like, yeah, he was pretty good. Like, I think he like did pretty well at like the state meet or whatever his senior year. And she goes, but he's got those shitty ankles.
Built for quickness, man, not stability.
He's got those shitty ankles, man. And I died laughing. I'm like, oh my God, she's coming for his head, bro. Like, I was like, you're right. His ankles aren't good. But they were okay. And then Iowa football made them worse.
They were perfectly fine. And then, you know, they got abused a little bit. Yeah, there's nothing. Running a straight line has nothing to do with your ankles.
I know. It was just funny that she said that. Like, damn, she's taking shots. We'll get back to the listeners on that. Phone in. Are you a runner out there? Do you think you could beat our times? Run a 400 against the walk-ons. It's the new run rich run, except for it's the run walk-ons run.
I bet there's at least a handful of people out there that would beat any time we put up tomorrow.
I guarantee. Any runner that does mileage on a semi-consistent basis would smoke us. I'm just interested to see what I could do. What do you think you could pull in a mile right now? I'd love to see Drake go a mile with that.
6 minutes, give or take, probably.
My mile time gets significantly worse because the further I have to run, the worse my hip gets. Mm. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I would have to test that one to figure it out, and that would probably hurt for a while.
Last year when I ran the half, I needed to set like a baseline pace to set my training runs. And it was based off of a mile run. And this was at like week zero of the training plan. I pulled a 6:34. That was week zero. Right around like the end of my half marathon training, I think I was like right around 6 minutes. So I don't know. It'd be interesting.
6 minute pace or like you're going 1 mile?
No, one mile. No,
if I say 6 minute pace, pretty fucking good.
I'm not Kipchoge, that fucking guy. Anyway, let's talk NFL draft. We had two guys drafted over the weekend that go from the black and gold to some different colors, to some different cities. And we had some other guys reach some free agency deals, something that the three of us would have really liked to do. The three of us struck out 0-for-3. So it's good that some of these guys get to live our dream because we did not. Hey, and this is the weekend every year that rolls around where you get to decide, hey, are you going to continue your football career? Or is podcasting potentially in your future, right? And for Max Cooper, it's podcasting.
I saw that. He came out with the podcast, right?
He's got a podcast with some other guy. It's called Men on. I'm not going to shit on it. They got Spencer Petras on the first episode. It's called Men on Melrose. Go check it out. If they're better than us, then go listen to them. They don't have Drake. Right?
And Max isn't funny.
He might be. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, we got something good going on over here.
Do we though?
Not really. In the off season, no. In the
longevity.
In the middle of the season though, we're pretty good. When we're rolling and it's relevant and football's full swing, we got a good thing going. In the off season, we've
been talking about running a 400 for the past 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, see, dude, he got to fill content. Tyler Linderbaum, great name. Baltimore Ravens, how do we feel about it? Picked number 25 in the 2022 NFL draft. How do we feel about it? Go for it.
I think it'll be a good spot for him. Word on the street is they were talking to Yanda.
I saw that
about what he felt about him, and Yanda's like, oh yeah, you got to go for this.
I mean, first of all, Yanda's
I can definitely see Linderbaum having a very long, successful career there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a step-in starter. If you pull up ourlads.com, they've got a pretty good, pretty up-to-date, like almost real-time depth charts going on of all the NFL teams. And they stay pretty on top of shit. They've already got Linderbaum placed in as a day one starter. Tristan Colon Castillo is who they have right now. He was looks like a free agent from 2020. And then James Murray who was from last year. So they have no depth or veteran at the center position. Can't imagine those guys are any better than Lindy, which is probably why they spent their first pick on him. And Lindy signs for, what was it? Like a total of like $15 million, $6.8 million signing bonus.
So, I mean, when that happens, got to feel pretty good.
And just what, like, you guys saw the video, right? Of him getting the call.
Yeah.
It feels so good to watch a guy get that call. I've never talked.
He's got short arms though. Remember,
he does have short arms, which someone,
how do you feel good about any of this? Right. Cause he's got short arms and he's not going to succeed and he's not going to get a second contract and he's going to be a washout. Right. Cause he's got short arms.
Dude, if I'd be a washout for a $6.8 million signing bonus, to be honest, who gives a shit what happens?
He's got short arms. So that's all I got to say. His arms are short.
He dropped in the draft a little bit. Someone, I don't know if this means anything, but supposedly somebody that knows shit around the NFL said that if he was an inch taller and his arms were an inch longer on each side, he's probably a top 10 pick. Who knows?
Good for the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. The Ravens. Yeah,
Ravens get the offensive line steal of the draft.
Yeah. He's going to be an institution at that facility for the next 10 years, probably.
I mean, that anybody who was there during in that Ravens organization while Yonda was there is probably in for another just solid, steady Iowa offensive lineman for a decade. I mean,
dude, do you know how cool it's going to be to see an old man Lindy playing for the Ravens like Yonda? Like old man Lindy, fucking dozen years in the league, all pro. His fingers are just mangled, dude. His forehead looks like hamburger. When he goes to the press conference, he doesn't say a goddamn word. And he just goes out there and stifles the best nose tackles on planet Earth, dude. I cannot wait to see old man Lindy in the league.
Yeah, he's going to have a good career. It'll be interesting to see how quickly he picks up because, especially at the NFL, there's a lot to learn at the center position. And you're going to have a lot thrown at you really quick.
Yeah.
There's going to be some really fast guys running at you really fastly. So,
but you play against some guys who are, I know, we're cutting each other off. This is what we would not have to do if we had a podcast lab in Coralville.
I've learned from training with some of the guys that some of the quarterbacks around the league make very few calls at the line. They make the call in the huddle, and then at the line, the center makes a ton of the calls.
Yeah.
So in the league,
I'd say center is up there with one of the hardest positions to step in and start right away.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously quarterback being up there too.
There's a lot to know, man. I mean, like, you've got a lot of – you're stepping in, and you're like, other than the quarterback, you're kind of in command.
And the NFL defense has run some funky shit now, too. You know, he's not going against the Iowa defense that's running a 4-3 under front every down.
Every play. Dude, not only do they run funky shit, they're coming at you with the best athletes in the world, dude. And before those best athletes even come running at you, the guy lined up right across from you is probably 340 pounds and absolute bowling. Like he's a wrecking ball sitting across from you and you have to move his ass.
Yeah. So he's got his work cut out for him, but I think he's going to be a phenomenal professional. Yeah. Very happy for him.
He's just like, I don't know, again, bias, but like, he just seems like Tristan. He's just that quiet. I mean, Tristan's even a little bit more outgoing and he's found his stride a little bit in the league, but Lindy's just that guy who like, it feels like he comes to the complex. He doesn't say a goddamn word to anyone. He just blocks your ass and goes home. He just gets the job done. Bing, bang, boom. How you doing? And we're on to the next. Get me some dinner. You know, you're muted, Drake.
Another thing we wouldn't have to do.
How you doing? Keep it moving. Podcast.
How you doing? Keep it moving. Give me that fucking game week check for a lot. In his case, you know, and then of course, so the drama of this pick in Hawkeye world was Lamar tweets, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, not a good look. Not a good look at all.
And I mean, literally the exact minute that they just drafted a new center, like the guy who he's potentially going to be tickling his nuts, knuckling his butthole. I mean,
that's
you get comfortable with your center. You don't tweet what the fuck after your franchise center gets drafted.
Yeah. And it, you know, Lamar walked it back, you know, and I think people, I don't think he's lying. He was what the fucking Hollywood getting traded. Or
very bad timing.
Yeah, just not a good look. You know, like, man, you got
it's like, you know, like, just like, if you think you should tweet something, just don't.
just don't.
Just never tweet. Hey, it's just nothing ever good happens from sending a tweet.
Listen,
any tweet.
Here's what you do. Kevin's advice.
You get on Twitter. You get on Twitter. You go and you think you write up what you're gonna tweet, and then you delete your account and never open the app again.
You send it to
them. Your account starts tweeting promotions for sunglasses at people.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Just like Drake.
Unbelievable. Drake said, you know,
but man, if this whole Elon Musk thing take over Twitter ever ends up happening, my comeback tweet is going to be ridiculous.
I've asked you this already, and I just don't understand what Elon Musk buying Twitter changes anything about it for you.
Yeah,
because it's the
same people are still going to be on Twitter.
And, right. No, no, and your tweets are still going to make Kevin and I look bad.
It's the theory and the concept, though, because, like, I censored myself on Twitter, not for myself, but for the two of you, right? But Elon Musk, in a nutshell, is saying, don't censor anything, nothing. Just fucking take the rails off. The brake lines are cut and the train is headed down the tracks, dog.
Okay.
So
I do not believe that's what
he's talking about, actually, like, suppressing voices and shit. Your voice was not being suppressed.
Listen, I know. I understand that. But I'm talking about just the ideology in itself has me ready to pick the pitchfork back up.
Okay.
He believes in free speech. Doesn't mean he says you guys should tweet everything you're fucking thinking right now.
Kevin is worried. Let's just put it that way.
I have a little bit of anxiety about Drake being back.
Kevin's worried. And let me be honest, Tyler's a little worried too. So we're going to keep this one on ice.
I'm going to absolutely nuke some people.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone has that to look forward to between the sunglasses promotion for the fake Ray-Bans and Drake coming after everybody. Could get exciting. We'll see. Our other draft pick is Dane Belton.
Great Dane.
D-Belt. Had him on the podcast. Couldn't get Tyler Linderbaum on. Reached out to him in several different ways. Guy probably just doesn't want to fucking sit for an hour and talk about himself, right? Which makes sense.
Nor does he want to talk to us, and I can't blame him.
And that's also an element to it, right? And you know, Great Dane is going to be going to the New York Giants. And this is nothing against the Great Dane. It's everything against the New York Giants. God, they suck ass. You know, they're not a good football team. But can't be sad for him. Can't be mad for him. Guy's going to get a bag. Got drafted in the first fourth round. Was one of the first picks off the board on Saturday, I believe.
That makes for a really nice Saturday, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the first, like,
15 picks or so.
Yeah, I would say 10 or 15, which is nice. You don't have to sit there and wait. You've already waited 2 days. You know, we wouldn't know, but I imagine that's stressful.
I'm still waiting. It's been 4 years, so.
God damn, that call.
5 years?
That call is going to come, man. I feel it. I think someone's going to call. The Navy fullback I saw right before we got on the podcast is going to be with the Ravens as well. His last name is Fagot. It's pronounced.
Oh, yeah, I remember watching him. Yeah.
It's pronounced Fago. But the tweet replies to him being picked up was like, wow, last name goes crazy. And then, like, someone put the gif of Michael Scott going like this, like, and commented and said, this guy's going to have announcers losing their jobs. So
his first Ann Arbor to Baltimore, that kid's not even going to have to move.
His first name's Diego also. Diego Fago. One fullback that made the league, Kulik did not. For these reasons, because he's saying this shit and looks like this on camera.
Dude, the reason I say this shit and look like this is because I failed, okay? This is what failure looks like.
You're right. The Giants. How do we feel about the Giants for Great Dane? I don't really know shit about him. I see on our lads that he's placed in at kind of like a second string at the strong safety position, and they only have three safeties on their roster.
Is that right?
They've got two starters, Julian Love and Xavier McKinney at free safety, and then Dane is backing them up, and there's nobody else on the roster, and they've got like all the draft picks loaded in here, so that's good for Dane.
That means he's seeing a hell of a lot of field year one. He's going to be a guy who's going to be starting on special teams automatically. He'll probably be in on sub packages. I think he's going to have a great NFL career. I really do. I think
I hope so.
Him and Amani Hooker are really similar.
Yep.
Kind of their style of play. And Amani's been doing pretty well.
I'd say.
I think Dane's going to have a pretty deal.
If Amani keeps going at the rate he's going, Broski's going to get paid. Because
yeah, one more year. I was just talking to him about the other day. We were talking about, I talked to his strength conditioning coach at jiu-jitsu all the time. Me and the Titan strength coach just happened to train jiu-jitsu together. And we were talking about how they got Amani for a steal being in the fourth round. And then Amani literally posted something that said, you know, I can't believe they got me for a fourth round pick or something like that. And I texted him and said, dude, Frank and I were just laughing about this, how cheap they were able to get, you know, everything. He's like, yeah, man, don't worry though, I'm about to get paid.
It must be nice. It must feel nice, you know, and he's still got to go out and perform and do his thing. But I saw a graphic after the end of this NFL season that was something like, it was PFF again, whatever you put into PFF. Lindy was the number one PFF lineman of like all time or something on run blocking. So they at least get something right. But PFF had Amani graded as like the fifth best safety in the league this year or something like that. So, I mean,
he's got one more year in his contract, right?
He came out the year after us.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So he was in the league 19, 20, 21. Yep. This is his contract year.
Time to ball out.
Good for him. Good for him.
Ball out and get yourself paid. And
who's the other safety next to him? Is it Byard?
Byard.
Evan Byard?
And Byard, just imagine being able to play next to an all-pro. So you know that you only have to worry about what you have to worry about because he's got his shit strapped.
On lock.
And that has to be such a freeing thing, not to mention he learns from him every week.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Byard was also one of those – I think Amani was fifth on that graphic, and Byard was like second or first. So he's been balling out too.
Back end.
Oh, the Titans got to feel great with those two back there. But anyway, back to Dane. I think I agree with Kevin here. I think Dane plays more like Amani than Gino, but they're all kind of very similar players. Gino's
Amani and Dane are just a lot more athletic.
Yes, you're right. Stronger too, bigger. Yeah, Gino's a little bit smaller.
How tall is Dane?
He's not super tall. 6'1".
Oh yeah, he's taller than Gino then. Yeah.
6 feet maybe.
6'1" is pretty tall for a safety.
It is tall. You're right. And like I don't know, Dane is just always since he came in and he played as a young kid on the special teams. You just like he's just a. He's a
I imagine he's going to follow a very similar kind of progression at the NFL as he did at Iowa, you know. Special teams right away, sub packages, and then just build yourself into a starter. It's going to be exact.
Yeah, and when we talked to him and he came on our podcast, man, I know I've said it, but he was really impressive. He just does kind of seem like that guy that catches on. And again, like if there's a Hawk in the league that gets drafted, I can see a decade guy out of a Hawkeye. Like they just know how to be NFL dudes. I wouldn't say that about every Hawkeye.
Not to mention he's just built like a professional.
He is.
You look at him on the field and you're like, oh yeah, that's a professional.
I think the only thing that could derail his career is the Giants organization and going through coaching staffs every 2 years and switching up a scheme on.
Dude, for real. That's real.
And it makes it hard for players to succeed so that when it comes time for them to go sign a contract and they're like, you know, going for their second contract, you know, teams look at them like, well, all right, what they put on film is garbage. Not maybe because you're not talented, just because you've had terrible coaching. And
yep. That's real shit. I was just,
That usually happens worse for quarterbacks though, than like a safety in the back end.
For sure. But it's still possible.
Yeah, it's still possible. If you have, right.
You as a defensive coordinator can still put your defensive players in bad situations.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, don't forget, the Washington walk-ons fade New York City forever.
We fade this New York City, right? Yeah,
because we want to fade the whole state, but we can't fade Buffalo because they're awesome and
because they might win the Super Bowl this year.
But fade New York City, bro.
New York City,
in every sense of the word, fade them living there. Fade them with their politics.
Now,
fade them
with here's where our boys lost is, I can't say Baltimore or New York City would be very desirable places for me to live. That's just personal. I don't know. Some people like that.
I don't think Baltimore, like in this, I mean, in, I'm sure they got nice suburbs, right? There's, you know, there's nice.
I would love to live in Baltimore, dude. Play for the Ravens. Oh my God. That'd be a dream come true.
But not
Ray Lewis was my favorite football player of all time. I just dreamed of being him.
I'm just throw the NFL thing out. Living in Baltimore. Not high on my list.
Probably not the city for sure.
But if you are a football player in Baltimore, it becomes a whole different situation.
I'm sure there's some good stuff. Yeah.
The people in Baltimore take their Ravens serious.
It's a football town.
It is.
It's like Pittsburgh. And that's a great, and he's, you know, they, and Lindy steps into a great rivalry in like a conference that like is on the come up out of a decade or more worth of being like kind of trash, right? Like the Browns and the Bengals are relevant now a little bit, right? So, I mean, the fucking Bengals were in the Super Bowl. So, it's going to be cool to see that happen. And then, yeah, I don't know about living there. Let's move on to the.
Should we go straight from relevant to irrelevant and the fact that Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant? That's pretty hilarious. Yeah. That's fantastic for this podcast because we've been saying he was irrelevant for a long time.
For Hawk fans, that's a little cherry on top of this weekend for sure.
That it was just a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful moment.
Iowa State suck boys. They thought they were going to have like 8 guys drafted. I think they had like 4 or something, maybe 5. They had a lot of good guys. They, you know, their tight end, they had a defensive lineman. They had a linebacker who signed a free agent contract. They had that safety or that corner.
Breece Hall.
Breece, who was obviously, you know, he was their guy this year. He was drafted just outside the first round, Iowa State, still the longest standing Power 5 team without a first round pick. Streak now extends to 50 years. My
God. Nice.
We've had a first round pick the last fucking like 4 out of the last we've had 4 first round picks in the last 4 years and they haven't had one in 50. I mean, it is what it is, but it's tough to be a Cyclone.
Speaking of teams missing in the draft, how about the Texas Longhorns having nobody drafted?
That's wild to me. That is wild to me. Yeah.
The Blue Bloods?
You didn't see that, Drake?
Hook 'em 0?
Hook 'em.
Horns down for the NFL draft weekend.
Down. Yeah, I don't know, man.
They're gonna join the SEC and they're gonna become like a totally
a laughing stock.
They're the doormat. They're going to be the doormat of the SEC.
Dude, how insane is it going to be from watching Texas, like Vince Young, Texas, fucking Mac Brown, Texas,
yeah,
to irrelevant?
And to be honest, man, I don't know if it's possible for all of their donor money to even like – bring this program
dig them out
back
of it.
You know what I mean? Because like they've been tossing so much money at that program for so long.
Yeah,
and just
they have the facilities culture. Of any
NFL. Just hasn't been able to manifest into anything.
You open up an entire can of worms that we are going to spend an entire episode on, Kevin, because NIL and the transfer portal has had some wild headlines recently, and that's going to be one of our next few episodes. Just to bring to light some of the stories, some of the deals that have happened now, that rule took place or went into effect on June 1 of last year, I believe, either June 1 or July 1. So we're almost a year into it. And there's a lot to talk about, but I don't, it brings up a good point in this conversation. I don't think NIL and donors having a collective and giving all these players deals, like in the end, culture wins. And building over the course of 1, 2, 5, 10 years means something. And it's why it comes up all the time. If you want to fire KF, great. Find me someone who's going to build a program that has as thick of a culture that can stand the test of time and not become Auburn, who fucking had like a 4-8 season 2 seasons ago, or maybe even last, I forget, was it last year or the year before? Texas, who's irrelevant, doesn't have any draft picks, they're trash, they're going to be the doormat of the SEC. Name them, right? Teams who are just so up and down. Florida State, they've gone through it. I mean, these programs,
Florida, you
see them at the top, and then it's like they're Northwestern. Like 1 year they're undefeated, the next year they have 3 wins. It's like, what's going on? It's culture.
Yeah, you can get by with just great talent for a year or two, but you know, if you want to build something strong, something that lasts, comes down to culture. And that's not something that you can do with money.
Yeah. Speaking of culture, guys, let's talk about some of our undrafted free agents and where they landed. We've got first and foremost,
Captain Jack
Kerner. He's going to be taking
ultimate culture guy.
Taking his chance down in NOLA with the Saints.
And that's, I heard, dope. That they have depth issues at safety too. So that seems like a really good spot for him.
Let me bring that. He's
making that team. Captain Jack is making that team.
I'm not going to guarantee he's an active roster guy, but he's a P squad guy at the least.
Says on our lads right now that the only safeties are, says they've got 6 safeties on the roster. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Marcus May are their starters. Daniel Sorensen was picked up from KC, PJ Williams, Justin Evans, and JT Gray. So, you know, no really high ticket names on there that you're going to, I mean, Jack's got a chance. Jack is going to follow the career path or the career arc of Jake Gervais. He's going to be in the same battle.
Yep.
Jack is following Jack. That's how this works. You know, Jack Kerner, not to say that someday he can't work his way in and be, I would never put it past him that he could somehow work his way in and become a starter in the NFL if he wanted to. You know, does he have the athleticism? Does he have the grind? Does he fall into the perfect spot? Maybe. Long shot. Right now, for the first few years, he's going to be a big special teams guy, big value guy. How can you sweep the floors and clean the toilets and fucking get the coaches coffee and just make the roster and get a shot? And I don't put it past him. We have Zach Van Valkenburg, who's going to be going to Las Vegas.
And he's a guy I actually thought would sneak around and get drafted. I thought he'd be like a 6th, 7th round guy.
I was just about to say, real surprised he didn't get drafted.
I am 3 for 3. I really thought, I mean,
so here's the thing I'm upset about, and maybe it's because they didn't test well, but Iowa never posted their pro day results, so I didn't see how they test.
That's a good question.
So maybe that's what got him. I don't know.
I thought they did post their pro days, but maybe
I never saw anything on any of their pro days.
Huh? Interesting. I don't know. It would be hard. I mean, I don't think that's the reason, but maybe. Valk is going to go get a chance with the Raiders and be in Vegas, and maybe he'll sit down at the poker tables. I would advise against that because he's not going to be He's not going to have Linderbaum money to fuck around with. Valk is a grinder, and he's also one who's got a chance to go in and make it. And that's going to be exciting for him. Shudak, this warms my heart. Keith didn't even get a shot, just like me. Subert didn't get a shot, just like me and Keith. Shudy is getting a shot in a camp. He's going on to Tennessee. He's going to be in
and York. That's let's go, baby. That's the feel-good story of the draft for me, because that guy stuck around and just grinded it out and earned it.
Dude, he was in the transfer portal. You guys remember that? Shudak,
not
the year that Keith was a senior, Shudak put his name in the portal during the season, and like nothing ever came of it. And so he stuck around, took the COVID year,
and he got his year and crushed it.
Got 1 year and was a top five kicker, probably the third best statistically in the country by my markers, and is now going to go in and compete in a camp to try and win an NFL special teams job that is damn hard to do. It is almost impossible.
So like when you go into a camp as a kicker, say it's like, you know, these two guys they bring in both have an even shot.
Yep.
What do you think? It's like, I have to go X percent of made field goals to make this. What do you think is that benchmark?
I mean, you're looking at, and honestly, this is what sucks, is because if you're the guy they're bringing in to dethrone whoever is the current guy, you've got to be even better than him, right? Like, you've got to be a couple, because you can't just have the same guy, or you can't be the same and then expect them to go with the new guy. They're
cheaper.
Unless you're cheaper. The Titans for kicker currently have, looks like Randy Bullock, and I believe Sam Ficken is also on their team. He can beat both those guys out. Bullock is
from Nebraska, no?
No, that was, yeah, I believe he is. He's going to have to, they got Amanis as the starting punt returner on this draft on this.
That would be elite.
Yeah, that would be sick. He's got a chance to beat those guys out.
About that.
Kev, to answer your question, from 50 and in, you probably need to be up around 85%.
Okay, I was expecting 90s. I don't know.
I was gonna 85 might be the floor, right? Like in camp, you should probably be in the 90s, right? And from 50 plus, which we know Shooty's got a little cannon on his hip, you should probably be, you know, somewhere in the low 80s or above. Maybe high 70s, but you know, it's all situational too. Like, you know, like, is there a wind gust and the special teams coach knows that one guy kind of got fucked on in a certain practice, or you know, what's great about Shudak that Keith didn't have, and a lot of people question why Keith never got his chance. Keith just didn't have that top end leg strength to be able to do kickoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to touch back in the NFL. You have to have a certain ability, and Keith did not have that consistently. He didn't ever get to do kickoffs in college because we had Shudak, who was our kickoff guy. And so that's why Keith didn't get a shot. Shudak will smash touchbacks. We saw him do it consistently in the black and gold. It'll be about his field goal percentage, and every rep is just life or death for a kicker. It's, you know, you step up and it's good or it's not. It's pretty black and white. I'm excited to hear how that goes. And Shudak's going to come on the podcast too. We just got to find time to.
Let's go, man. Looking Love forward to that one.
Yeah. Next on the list, so we have Valk, Kerner, Shudak,
Old Man Hankins.
Old Hank found himself a spot with the Falcons down in the ATL.
He's another guy that I think if he was healthy for his senior year, he would have been drafted as well.
I agree with that. Let's pull up who the Falcons have on their roster at corner. The Falcons have AJ Terrell. No, that's not right. Casey Hayward and Isaiah Oliver are their starting corners. God damn, they got a lot of corners on their team. Holy shit. So it looks like, if this is correct, Hank's going to be in a battle Mike Ford, Richie Grant, Kendall Sheffield, Avery Williams, Lafayette Pitts, Corey Ballantyne. There's a lot of guys on their roster.
Good thing is you need a lot of secondary guys.
You need a lot of secondary. And oftentimes those secondary guys are also filling special teams roles. So Hank is going to, similarly to Kerner, it's the same battle. He's going to have to play special teams, prove his value, and just get somebody to like him. Right. I mean, we don't know that process, but in the NFL, there's a little bit of luck and there's definitely a little bit of politics. And if you can get someone to just like you, it might be the chance you need. So fun to see him compete. And then we have Tyler Goodson, who is sort of the surprise of the Hawkeyes draft. Didn't get drafted. Came out early
to be a cheesehead up in Wisconsin.
He's going
to
be on the Packers. He came out early, and he didn't get drafted. This is an example of the
bad advice.
This is the example of the ugly side of leaving early. And I mean, there's not much more to say. It's pretty simple. You come out, you think you're good enough to get drafted and make a little money. And if you look at the numbers each year, I don't have the stats with me. Bad podcast host. If I did, I would be better. But you see every year that there's like so many people who leave early, who declare early as a junior, and only about half of them get drafted. And there's a certain amount of them who don't even sign undrafted free agency spots. Luckily, Tyler did, and is probably, if you looked at the guys who did not get drafted, he's probably in the top group of people who were undrafted free agents.
One of those guys that a bunch of teams are going after. So like he actually probably got a decent signing bonus for.
Yeah. For being an undrafted free agent. I would imagine he had a lot of options, right, Kev?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because
no, and I'm surprised again that he didn't get drafted because he ran really well at the combine. I think he was like a low 4.4.
He had good numbers. Yeah. It sucks. It sucks. He's going into a running back room.
It's because the running backs are a dime a dozen these days. Everybody in the NFL from first string to third string is super, super freaking talented, man. The reason they struggle to pay but the top 5-8 running backs in the league any big money is because they know that they can get another team's next best guy
who's elite
come in and do great work. Running back is a terrible position to be.
And when
you get beat the shit out of, and there's a million dudes who are freaky just like you.
And the problem is there's dudes freakier, right? Like we've seen what Tyler can do with his feet. The problem is he's not big, right? And this last season, he didn't get to put a ton on tape because we had a beat up O-line who was trying to figure shit out. And, our offense in general, we didn't necessarily probably use Tyler Goodson or our other weapons to their full potential. So you take that tape to the NFL and they're like, well, you're 5'11", you're 200 pounds after you eat breakfast, and we just don't know. I mean, he's going on to a team that has Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon as their 1-2, right? He's not better than those guys.
Yeah, those are two good backs right there.
I mean, you're not going to beat those guys out right now unless they get hurt. The third string running back for the Packers is Kylan Hill, and then fourth string on their roster right now is Patrick Taylor. I don't know either of those guys, right? So maybe he has a chance.
And again, you're going to have to play special teams.
Have to.
Yeah. You have to be a really good special teams player if you want to talk about active roster. I think I like his chances because you need at least three running backs on your active roster, probably four.
I would agree.
Yeah, three. At least.
Shout out. By the way, as I'm looking at this Packers roster, another Hawkeye free agent. Shout out Jack Heflin, who's just sticking around on the second string DN.
Yeah, the old garbage can full of dirt.
Just an absolute garbage can, man. Just Jack Heflin, number 96. He's the second string behind Dean Lowry at DN. Just hang.
Yeah, that guy played at Northwestern. I remember him. He was good.
What a legend. Jack Heflin just eating it up. I love that shit. But yeah, man. I mean, it's – I wish
– this is where you get to the point is like, would his draft stock have been better if he'd come back?
That's the conversation, right?
And so I don't think his physical attributes really get much better.
He's
pretty well developed at the age he is right now. Is there any technique or skills or stuff you can improve on? Always, sure, but you know, it gets more marginal as the older you get. You take smaller and smaller steps.
Yep.
But
you know, the big thing,
he probably could have put some better film on tape. Maybe. I don't know. It depends. I don't know what the offensive line situation is this year either, if it would have been any better.
True. I mean, you take a chance and you come back and, oh fuck, the line is still sucks, right? Like we're still not great on offense. You know, that's the risky run. You know, with Tyler, the thing that he is absolutely going to have to be better at, and it's not going to get any easier in the league, is pass blocking. That was one of his biggest downsides. And guess what? The linebackers and safeties and corners who are now coming off the edge, they just got bigger and faster. So it's an uphill battle. He's got talent, and in space, he has absolutely the ability to play in the league with the ball in his hands. Unfortunately, you have to have more, and that's why he's in the position he's in. And it sucks when a guy comes out early and it doesn't work out, like, you know, like Dane, right? Or like Lindy. But these guys have a shot. They have more than we did. And that's all you can ask for, really. And hey, if Jack Kerner and Tyler Goodson have a podcast in a year, we know it didn't work out. It's as simple as that.
You know, hey, there's a lot of good people out there that have podcasts too.
That's true. That's true. You know, I love my life.
Busting with the Boys. Those guys have made some cash.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're both almost decades in the league too. They did one first and then the other.
Yeah, exactly.
That's about it. Any other thoughts on the draft this weekend? Defense was heavy in the first round, man.
Light on quarterbacks too.
Seeing five defenders go before an offensive player just shows you that defense wins championships.
Yeah.
You see Georgia had like 15 guys drafted.
Jeez. And they had five in the first round.
Oh yeah. My God. That's absurd.
Yeah. They had something in the water down in Athens, Georgia this past season.
Was it fucking Benji's in their envelopes in their locker?
Well, the Benji's must have been paying for the steroids, because them boys are on something different.
Yeah,
built different.
Talk about some guys that don't look like us, huh?
Me and Jordan Davis, not made of the same material.
Hardly the same at all. You know what? I bet Jordan Davis couldn't podcast worth a shit, huh? They probably could. That's it. Sunday afternoon. We're going to get this one up early so y'all can start your week off hot. And I'm going to go eat Culver's, because it's fucking Culver's Sunday night here in Waukee. Anything else, boys?
Nah, man. See y'all on Dickhead Tuesday.
Ooh, can't wait. See you then. Peace.